On August 26, 1984, there was a headline in the New York Times real estate section that said, "If you're thinking of living in Bensonhurst." It went on to describe the local ice cream parlor, the median cost of houses, and it quoted a local man named Victor Delagio, who said, quote, "It's a close-knit neighborhood. I grew up in the same house with my grandparents and got married to the girl on my block." Close-knit are keywords. Almost exactly 5 years later, on August 23rd, 1989, some kids not from the neighborhood, four black kids, looking to check out a used car from a newspaper ad, were surrounded by a group of white guys from this close-knit neighborhood. One of the young men was murdered, shot twice in the chest. His name was Yusef Hawkins, and he was 16. The outcry and fury over Yusef's racially motivated death engulfed New York and revealed some long-head, virulent bigotry in a supposedly metropolitan northern city. It also feud political candidates and showed the impact of activism. What people couldn't see was a family whose pain sometimes took a back seat to the political and media swirl around them, until now. In a new documentary called Yusef Hawkins' Storm Over Brooklyn, premiering on HBO on August 12th, filmmaker Muta Ali Muhammad interviews Yusef's family, leaders like Reverend Al Sharpton and Mayor Dinkins, police officers, and a sit-down interview with Yusef's convicted killer, Joseph Fama, who to this day claims he, quote, never saw racism in Bensonhurst and that he did not shoot Yusef. Fama is still serving his sentence of 32 and a half years. Joining us now is Muta Al-Muhammad. Muta, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Allison. I'm really happy to be here.
And Amir Hawkins, Yusef's brother. Amir, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, yes, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me in.
Muta, you tweeted, "We must continue to tell stories that need to be told." So for this case that was extensively covered, what part of Yusef Hawkins' story needed to be told that hadn't yet been told?
Well, it's a few things, you know. It's the family's experience, like you mentioned a minute ago. I think the families of people who are killed for the color of their skin go through a great deal of trauma, as you'll see in the film, not only because someone who they love is taken from them at the hands of someone, you know, exhibiting a strong amount of hate, I guess I could put that. But also the public grieving process in a lot of ways can be even more traumatic than having the opportunity to grieve on your own. And I wouldn't want to speak too much for Amir, but I wanted the world to have an opportunity to see what happened to Yusef's family and see all that they went through to find justice. It wasn't just that they had Yusef taken from them. They took action. They teamed up with Reverend Sharpton, and for a year and a half, they were marching through Bensonhurst and making sure that the people of that community turned over the 30 people who surrounded and attacked Yusef and his friends.
Amir, why did you want to be part of this documentary?
Well, like Muta Ali just said, you know, it's perfect to tell the story because, as I said in a previous interview, Yusef's story was always told told through media, but not from, you know, the family directly itself. So, you know, so I at first wasn't on board with it. At first, mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, I just didn't want to do have anything to do with it. But then, as a mutual friend reached out to me, and he said, "Hey, you know, this project is not gonna work well if you're not on board." And then so I had to look at it from a different perspective and say, "You know what? Well, his story needs to be told because it affects everyone, mm-hmm. not just the personal family." So, you know, to put the story out and to get it from the family's perspective of, you know, all of the protests and, you know, everything that was going on. So that's what made me change my mind and realize, hey, this is the perfect project to be on board with.
Amir, can you tell us about Yusef, what kind of brother he was?
Yeah, Yusef, funny you asked that. He was more of a protective brother. So basically, in a long story short, wherever I went or wherever I wanted to go, he wanted to know where I was going to be at all times. So he was that type of brother to me. Where are you going? Where are you getting ready to go? You know, it was one of those things where he pretty much wouldn't let me out of his sight.
Mutsa, the first third of the film is spent on the murder and what led up to the murder. As I want to talk to you about some of your storytelling devices, we have overhead shots of the neighborhood. And you really lay it out for us, the geography of that part of Bensonhurst. Why did you want us to see the layout?
Segregation, to put it frankly. New York City, when I was a young child in Westchester, I was given that word, melting pot is how it was described, New York City as a racial melting pot, and Mayor Dinkins later would call it, the gorgeous mosaic. But de facto segregation is really what we are living in. A lot of us in New York City are separated by our race. So when you look down at the neighborhood, down at the city, and if you had a map, like there's a great map called Mapping Segregation. It's in the New York Times. It came out in 2015, if anyone wants to take a look. We're still very segregated. There are lines by race about where we live and describing where we live and where we don't live. So that top-down look I kind of used to give people the understanding of, even though, yeah, this is Brooklyn, this is one part of Brooklyn, and it looks this way, and this is another part of Brooklyn, and it looks an entirely different way.
Yeah, there's this great.
And I think that fed into what happened to Yusuf too. Is when we say storm over Brooklyn, I think that storm, us living divided and us having ideas in our mind about what other people are like and what they are when they come into our neighborhood, that plays into what happens to people.
Yeah, there's a great map you use showing, and Amir, you're showing where you guys used to ride your bikes, and you used to ride all over, but not certain neighborhoods. How did you choose to ride your bike, Amir?
Well, in East New York, because we grew up there. So, we knew how far we can go. So, like, we used to ride our bikes across in the Starlight City, and that's getting closer to, the Belt Parkway and stuff like that. And even at that point, that's where you can see a little bit of the changing of the area. Mm-hmm. So, but we never really strayed too far. We went in pretty much areas where we knew we can go and be safe to ride bikes through the neighborhood and stuff. So, when it came to Bensonhurst, far as now traveling, not on a bike or anything like that, we never knew of that side of town. And like I said, you'll probably see it in a different interview I did before. The only way we knew of that is through the sitcom show, The Honeymooners.
Honeymooners.
It was one line in there where, Alice was talking to Ralph and said, "Well, my mom's coming all the way from Bensonhurst." But, that's, TV, so we're not paying any attention to it. So then once that happened with Yusuf, then, oh, snap, it struck a bell. Okay, that's where I heard that mm-hmm. before. So we never even heard of that side of town.
But you know what? Your grandma, there's a quote. I want to play a clip from the film Yusuf Hawkins' Storm Over Brooklyn. By the way, my guests are Muta Ali, the director, and Amir Hawkins. Your grandmother, you tell us in the film, she knew that perhaps a trip to that part of town was not a good idea. Let's play that clip.
Because I specifically remember a set of words she said, because she was, from an older generation. She experienced, racism way before I even knew what it was, or way before I could even understand it. She said, "If I would have known that boy was going out there, I would have told him, 'No, you ain't going out there.'" But of course, we're thinking, well, we're free to roam, and hey, all they're going to do is look at a used car and an ad of a newspaper. It's a different side of town, but nobody ever told us, hey, that's off limits, you can't go over there. And that pretty much was the last time I actually seen Yusuf. Seen him alive.
So Muta, after Yusuf and his friends come to Bensonhurst, they're looking to check out a Pontiac. They're surrounded by nearly 30 young white men there's baseball bats in the scene. And you're really interesting because you use these dots to show us how, from that aerial view, what situation Youssef and his friends found himself in. Can you explain why he wasn't able to get away?
Well, they cornered Youssef and they separated him from his friends, Claude and Luther and Troy. So they made a left onto 69th Street and they were looking for the house for the person who was selling a car. And if they had made a right on 69th Street, they would have been heading toward the house, but they made a left. And when they realized they were going the wrong way, they stopped. And in that stopping, they put themselves in a position, obviously inadvertently, for all of those young men to surround them. And it was so quick. When Luther, who's in the documentary too, explains it, it was very quick, and they had bats. And if you can imagine the power of a baseball bat, you can, you know, strike a ball out of a stadium. They were slamming their bats on the ground, slamming them on the parking meters, and yelling and cursing and saying the N-word and everything. So these are teenage boys, you know, Youssef and his friends. So they were easily separated, the four of them versus 30. And Youssef happened to be the one who they had their eyes on. I don't know why they chose him out of everybody. And it's heartbreaking to just toss around why this and why that. Mm-hmm. But they cornered him against a doorway there. And, you know, somebody took his life.
The call to 911 clearly identifies race. The caller says a bunch of white boys, she shot a black guy. But a police officer told one of Youssef's friends this. This is a clip from Youssef Hawkins' Storm Over Brooklyn.
When the lead detective came in, I forgot his name, he said to us that keep this quiet because he doesn't want a riot in the city. And I said, okay. But the next day, Youssef's picture was on the front page. So, I mean, that's something that you couldn't keep quiet.
Amir, as a family member, what do you think the media's role was in the way this story of your brother played out?
Where should I start with that question? Well, here's the thing. The media, you know, their role, I mean, I can say as a young kid then, because I was 14 when it happened, to me, their role was very important. So, you know, all of these newspaper articles, all of the news clippings of, you know, cameras everywhere. So their role was very important, which was needed. Because we needed to bring attention to a situation like that, because we, you know, that's something that needs to be public. That's not nothing you just sweep under the rug. So,
right.
As far as the media's role, it's very important. So, you know, at the time, you know, I really couldn't understand it. You know, it's cameras everywhere. That's all I remember is, you know, we couldn't go anywhere without cameras there. But, you know, as I got older, looking at the role of it, it was media's role was very important. And, you know, at that time for that situation.
Muta Ali, I want to bring you in because there's a downside to the media. I went back and read the first New York Times coverage of that night from the next day. Mm-hmm. And they really play up the angle of there was a young woman named Gina and she had a black boyfriend and she told the guys in the neighborhood, I'm inviting them over for my party. And they really played up like this love triangle aspect as opposed mm-hmm. to the hate crime aspect. Did that follow through? When did it finally become clear that this was a hate crime?
I think when Amir and his family and Reverend Sharpton marched through Bensonhurst and the racism was exposed on a national level, mm-hmm. it became clear that it was more than just a rumor that Youssef was dating somebody out there. There's no zero evidence that would support that rumor. It's just not true. And I would hold the media accountable to a large degree here because my intention when we titled it Storm Over Brooklyn, which came from Charles Darby, I'll just give him a quick shout out. That storm, the media is part of that storm, and there was a pre-existing storm before August 23rd, 1989, when Yusuf was attacked and killed. The media needs conflict. We're storytellers. We need conflict. And just before what happened to Yusuf was the Central Park jogger case. And when you're telling stories as a journalist, as I'm sure you know, you have power. And when you are telling these stories and you're accentuating the conflict and you are making judgmental statements about the people involved, and we also lived in our little racial silos. In my silo, if I don't know anything about black people, I rely heavily on what the media tells me. And journalists who need to rely heavily on conflict are going to accentuate the negative in black people when they're given the opportunity. Because, number one, it's kind of the easiest thing to do if you just want to, if you have the power to say what is what and what isn't what. So the media needed to accentuate the conflict. And I think what the Hawkins family and Sharpton did was to turn it on its head and say, you need to accentuate conflict. Look really here at where the enemy is in these stories you are disseminating. And that had a chain reaction. Another part of the storm, and you can cut me off, is everyone needed something. This is weeks before a mayoral primary mm-hmm. between Dinkins and Koch. They needed to look a certain way, either tough on racism or they needed to assuage the guilt of their constituents and make the people in Bensonhurst feel like they weren't culpable in any way for protecting and raising these people who attacked Yusuf. They needed to approach Yusuf's family. And that's why at 14, Amir, I mean, you could say yourself, everyone swarmed their house because mm-hmm. they needed something from Yusuf's family. And the black community, I will say, needed something from Yusuf's family because Yusuf's name became an example of in a larger argument that says that racism is a deadly problem, you know? So I feel like watching this film, it gives you the opportunity to honor what the families who we love go through because of our need to use the name of the fallen, you know? And I think that is one thing that's special about Storm Over Brooklyn. And it wouldn't have been possible without Amir and Freddie and Miss Diane Hawkins and everyone being on board so they can tell us really their heartfelt experience.
Muta, you know, a lot of people who in Bensonhurst thought that Al Sharpton made things worse,
mm-hmm.
that he inflamed things. What do you think?
I mean, you can't inflame something that doesn't exist already, you know, so I feel like he knows how to use the media and the media knows how to use him. And so I think that's just an excuse, you know, and if you are being exposed, then maybe spend less attention complaining about what other people think and maybe be introspective and think of, okay, if this is what we are, I mean, we're not fabricating this. Like, it's not like Reverend Sharpton, he says himself, he didn't bring the watermelons down there for them to hoist up. He didn't bring the soda cans that they threw at Christopher and Yusuf's family and friends. That is there. So maybe turn inward and let's follow this whole thing of consciousness and enlightenment and say, what is going on with me in my community when I'm mad at someone for exposing me? And I'll spend energy with my anger, but I won't spend energy looking at myself.
Amir, what was it like to be a kid in the middle of all of these protests?
It was pretty scary. It was pretty scary. And, you know, and at the time, you know, I didn't really understand just how scary it was going to be, because all I know is, you know, I'm angry, I'm upset, and I'm watching a neighborhood full of people go home, you N-word this, you N-word that. So as a young child, you know, I'm trying to process all of this, because, you know, you hear about it on TV and stuff, but, you know, now I'm face front. I'm living it now. This is not someone else's story I'm looking at. I'm looking at, you know, my life now. This is home front for me. So, you know, trying to process that and, you know, watching this. And then, you know, like Muta just said, you know, you can't get mad for being exposed for something you did wrong. And that's where we need to put the light on. Well, you say, well, we're not racist, we're not this, but, well, we have proof. Your actions showing that. When I see 8-9-year-old children doing that now, no child is born that way. Where does that come from? Watching the what? Older generations, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, because that's a taught behavior. No child is ever born knowing how to be that way. You have to be taught how to be that way.
I want to say to folks, the documentary has all kinds of interesting layers. It goes into the one black guy who knew all these people from Bensonhurst and lives there. There's like a whole subtext about sort of about toxic masculinity and the way they talked about the young woman, Gina. There's just a lot going on in this documentary. I encourage people to watch it. It's called Yousef Hawkins, Storm Over Brooklyn. I've been speaking with filmmaker Muta Ali Muhammad. Muta, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
And Amir Hawkins, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your family story.
Oh, I appreciate it. Not a problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
This is All of It.